Can I talk about something kind of serious here, if you don't mind? Sheriff Tom Dart is joining us now on the hotline.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to you, though. I envisioned, remember, there was an episode on the old MASH with Frank Burns throwing the baseball for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He lifted the wrong leg and threw it the wrong arm. It was hilarious. So watch it. I think you might get a little preview.
A preview.
I know I'm on to something here. It's fake news.
I know, but there's
no reason to turn down an opportunity like that. That's just a presidential tradition. He's not going to have a dog, and he won't throw out the first pitch. And they mowed over the kale garden that Mrs. Obama put up. Remember that?
Sure, she had a vegetable garden. With all
that the dogs kept peeing.
Get healthy, get fit. Initiative.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are taking on the tough topics today.
Yeah. It's been a rough week. So we're just, and it's only Tuesday. So we decided to take it the 3 o'clock hour, take a little rest. We got Mike Rogers coming up, the former head of the House Intel Committee, at 4:10, in case you want to tune back in for that time. Hey, Sheriff, let's talk about this. I want to have just a moment here of remembrance of somebody who's very, very special to you, but I think incredibly special to Chicago. And that is, Father Millett.
Yeah, Father Dan.
Who I got to know him a little bit. He was a chaplain for law enforcement here, and I met him a couple of times at, I believe, actually when I was doing events for the sheriff's office. He scared the pee out of me back then. And and he is now,
he had that effect on everyone.
Yeah. Now he has just announced that he's passed away. People will remember this one story about him. And then I want you to kind of fill in the rest of the story with him. But in 2011, he was sort of in the retirement phase of his career, but he was living in the rectory at this, at the church.
St. Margaret of Scotland. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. St. Margaret of Scotland in the Beverly neighborhood.
Just
south
of Beverly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
real close.
It's a 98th and Troop, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he was living there and the place got broken into, and he was the only, person at this time. He was there at the time.
Gosh.
I guess living in the basement or something, right? Wasn't that right?
He was on the second floor. They came in through the basement.
And why don't you go ahead and tell the story? Cause obviously you know it much better than I. Then we'll fill it in.
We had encouraged him to have an alarm system installed, which he did, which he then proceeded to make sure that he did not turn on because he kept setting it off. And so he was alone in the house, and these two guys broke in, went up to his bedroom, woke him up, dragged him out of bed, wanted money from him, beat him horribly. Mm. He didn't have any money upstairs. They knew, because the one guy used to be an altar boy there. He knew there was money in the basement usually, so they physically dragged him down the stairs. Like his whole, head, body hitting the stairs, the whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Dragged him down there. There was no money there. He was pleading for his life, and they beat him up some more, and eventually they left. Mm-hmm. And so, I honest to God, when I got to the emergency room row, I thought I was going to be seeing the end, and he was sitting up in bed, just completely, covered, black and blue, covered in blood, and what's he doing? He's sitting in bed yelling at somebody, and so I immediately knew that.
He's going to make it.
Yeah, we're going to get through this. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, jumping right into it, I said, Father, your homily was not real good last week, but I didn't think it was that bad that someone would go after you like this.
Oh, I see what you did there. Now, those two guys, by the way, were caught, were convicted. The one who had been an altar boy there, had said to Father Millett, pray for me during the incident, was sentenced to 14 years in jail, and the other one 9.5 years in jail.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. To be honest with you, Ro, he would call me up sometimes in the middle of the night, Father. He was haunted by this. And even though he absolutely forgave them and, believed in forgiveness, and it was, all we can do to make sure that he was still, understanding that we needed to move ahead with the case because these guys, would be emboldened if they got away with it, he still would have these nightmares. He'd call me up at night and says, "Tommy, I thought they were right above me. I thought they were just going to kill me again."
Okay.
I was like, "But don't worry, they're locked away. They're not going to be able to get you again." And he was just, I mean, such an amazing fighter. This was just literally one of his many fights, and I think that's why so many of us are like so, you know, empty right now, because yeah, he was 85 years old and he lived an amazing life, but he fought back from so many things. We just kept thinking, okay, this will be a short stay in the hospital and he'll be right back, and it just didn't work out well.
Well, and that's one of the things that stood out to me. I didn't know him. I had heard many stories of him and about him. But, you know, one of the things that just looking at his life is how much he did fight and what he fought for. You know, marching with Reverend King, yeah. He fought for civil rights. He fought for his parishioners against poverty, against violence in the neighborhood. He fought to keep his own parish and preside over it. And I know you were front and center during that.
Well, you know, this is, I want to point out, this is an interesting thing about Dan Millett. And I think this is why, you know, Chicagoans need, if you're not familiar with him, you need to be familiar with this story, because it's a wonderful story about Chicago, about the grit and the heroism that is often exhibited in the city, especially in the most trying of neighborhoods. And Father Millett, I think, he embodied a lot of, you know, the identity that is Chicago. And I think, Tom, you'd agree with me on this. And,
oh, God, yeah.
And he, you know, the Catholic Church has had the Archdiocese of Chicago, let's put it this way, has had its disagreements with a number of activist priests,
yes,
over the year.
Definitely has.
In Chicago.
And not always been on the side of the people in those fights,
yep.
I would say.
And, you know, whereas, you know, you do have in the same sorts of problems that you've seen with Michael Flager, in terms of a guy overstaying his mission or overstaying his tour, if you will, at a particular church, in St. Sabina in that case. Dan Millett had the same thing.
There a lot of similarities there, bro.
Yeah, and so, but it was never quite as public with Dan Millett.
No, it wasn't.
But it was. I mean, it was his whole mission, and I mean, literally. I mean, he could have gone to any countless parishes, but he was at St. Agatha's on the west side. Worked through that. He was at Visitation. He was at St. Margaret's. He always was a magnet for areas that needed people. And he was always puzzled whenever schools were being closed down and churches were being closed. These are the areas that need us, Tommy. I don't get it. Why are we walking away from areas where they need us so desperately? And he was just monumentally puzzled by it, because he said, that's our mission. Our mission is to be there. And here's a guy who was outrageously upset when he was being pushed out, in spite of the fact he was beaten half to death. There was someone shot in the rectory about 2 years prior to that. There was two people found shot to death on the steps of the church at different times over the course of the years. And he didn't want to go. He absolutely said, this is my place. I want to stay here. I want to stay here until the end, and I want to keep ministering to people. And when I'd go up to the hospital to visit him, there was people coming out of the woodwork that, I mean, I would talk to him at least once or twice. I mean, God, once or twice a week at minimum. We'd go out, you know, to dinner, and we would see each other at least a couple times a week, too. And there was people he never mentioned to me. And these stories, I thought I heard his stories. And mind you, as I would tell him, so many of his stories, they didn't seem to ever have any real ending to them. But he would have these great stories that we pleaded with him. Please, will you write these down? We record them. We got him a tape recorder. He fought it. Then finally he spent an afternoon taping it. And then I got the call that it didn't work out. He's done with it. Why is that? Because the machine was broken. Why was the machine broken? He forgot to put a tape in it. And so he then blamed all of us. And so he said, I'm done with that.
Oh.
But the stories were just unreal of the people he interacted with. I mean, he was the corner man in boxing matches. I mean, a Catholic priest who was the corner man in a boxing match. I mean,
you know,
that.
They talk about pugilistic priests, you know, guys who are, you know, tough, pugnacious priests. Well, he literally and figuratively was that guy. And people will read more about it in the Obits and the Sun-Times and Tribune tomorrow. Very, very special Chicagoan.
Yes.
Dead at the age of 85, Dan Millett. And you know, obviously, you know, very close with you, Sheriff, and you know, that story from 2011 is just one of the stories of horror in Chicago that we hear so much about. But he survived that at the age of 80. He survived being dragged down a flight of stairs and all of that. You know, went on to still care and minister for his community, even though members of his community are the ones who did that to him. You know, were people that he, you know, that he still wanted to
members
shepherd.
Members of his community came out of the woodwork the day after the event occurred, and they were meeting with me, Chicago police officers, and they gave these guys up so quick. They were like, you don't do this to him. Yeah. He has been there for all of us.
Got it. Hmm. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks for
appreciate
sharing
it.
Your stories.
My condolences, too,
yeah.
to you
thank
and your
you
family
so much.
For that. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Let us now check with Violetta Petermenic on the WGN Turf Trouble Spots.